And that's the music of Stephen Sondheim from Follies. That's Broadway Baby. Welcome back to Midday. Some of the other Sondheim classic hits, Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, A Little Night Music, and those are just a handful of the Tony Award-winning composer and lyricist's remarkable achievement. Stephen Sondheim died in 2021 at the age of 91, and last month, the Library of Congress announced it had acquired a treasure trove of the work of this American treasure. And last week, Sondheim's music and lyrics were made available for public viewing. More items are expected to be added over the next few months. So if you're a regular listener to Midday, you know that our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick, is a huge Sondheim fan and a scholar of his work. She joins me here in Studio B. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here.
And Mark Eaton Horowitz joins us as well. He's a senior music specialist who oversees the Sondheim collection at the Library of Congress, and he joins us on Zoom. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Mark, how did you convince Stephen Sondheim to will his archives to the Library of Congress? What were the circumstances behind that?
Well, we sell ourselves, basically. I'd known him a bit before, and I started working at the library in 91. And in 93, I saw that he was coming to town to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at Helen Hayes, and I invited him for a show and tell at the library. And I spent a couple weeks preparing and covered a room with manuscripts and papers that I knew would be meaningful to him. And, you know, the collection sort of sell themselves, but I think the coup de grace was the last thing I pulled out was Gershwin's manuscript for Porgy and Bess, and he started to cry. And I think, you know, he appreciated then what good company his manuscripts would be in. And there were already so many connections with things we already had. We already had the Bernstein collection, and clearly they collaborated on West Side Story. We had the Oscar Hammerstein collection, who was his mentor. So there were a lot of obvious reasons. So it really didn't take much convincing beyond just showing him what we already had.
Wow. Wow. Well, you did a good job. You're a good salesman. I'm glad to have these things so close by. Now, a few years later, skipping ahead to a bit later in the 1990s, you had access to the original manuscripts of many Sondheim scores. This was for a series of interviews you did for the Library of Congress in 1997. The interviews were later published in your meticulously detailed book, Sondheim on Music. More recently, the library posted videos of the interviews on YouTube. I'd like to play an excerpt from one of those. Let's listen.
I believe that the unconscious is what writes, and that the way to write a song, or anything, I suppose, is to live, eat, and breathe it all the time, and that when you go to sleep, the work is done for you. If I interrupt it too much with social life, with distraction, with other work, that's why I work on one thing at a time, it dissipates and I have to get back into it. But I believe if you inundate yourself with what you're working on, the brain starts to put all these things together.
That was Stephen Sondheim talking to Mark Horowitz in 1997. Mark, beyond the manuscripts you studied for those interviews, have you found surprises in Sondheim's bequest? I believe it contains some 5,000 items.
I think it's actually more than that, and I'm surprised every day. But it's interesting you say what you have him saying, I think, understates the sheer volume of work he put into everything he did. And I think what he was mostly talking about there in terms of living in a show is each show of his has a pretty unique musical sound, and it's that world that he was, you know, so when he was writing a show, he wouldn't listen to other things, to earlier scores, that kind of thing, because he didn't want to lose that harmonic sense that he created for that particular show. But when you see the collection, it's unbelievable to me how much sheer effort, how many page after page after page of both music and lyric sketches he put into these things. And even after he has what looks like a perfect song, there are dozens of pages of typescripts of lyrics that he then still keeps editing and changing and revising. So it's I've never seen anything quite like it.
And Mark, what are the materials really comprised? I mean, are we talking about scraps of paper or full sheets?
He was fairly meticulous about his manuscripts, so virtually everything comes in. Every song is in its own sort of packet that includes all his music sketches, all his lyric sketches, and a final piano vocal score in his hand for the song. And sometimes there'll be other things included in that. So, for instance, I've just been working on Into the Woods, and there are pages from James Lapine with ideas about songs or script pages that will then be turned into songs. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Because I know in the British Museum, for example, they have the back of the envelope that John Lennon wrote "Imagine" on, and it's scribbled in this thick pen. And I wonder if Sondheim was that kind of person. He'd find the napkin, the closest napkin, and scribble down an idea.
No, I mean, I've seen things like that in other collections, but he seems to have been very meticulous about where and how he worked. All his lyric sketches are on yellow legal paper. The music paper is, he's sort of perfect in that the title page of every song he signs, and often things are dated, and it's great.
Now, I know that among the unexpected things you came across are the lyrics that he rewrote to his song, I'm Still Here. He rewrote these for Barbara Streisand. He did this sort of thing on very rare occasions. We have a clip of her singing those lyrics at Madison Square Garden. Let's listen.
Good times and bum times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here. Gold statue sometimes a kick in the rear, but I'm here. Now one day you're hailed for blazing trails, next day you're nailed for fingernails. Either they cheer or they jeer, but I'm here.
That's Barbara Streisand singing Stephen Sondheim's I'm Still Here with lyrics that he customized for Barbara Streisand. If you've just joined us, it's midday. Our guests are Mark Eaton Horowitz. He is the author of Sondheim on Music, Minor Details and Major Decisions. He's a senior music specialist at the Library of Congress, where the Stephen Sondheim archive is now available for view. And our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick, is with me here in Studio B.
Glad to be back with you here, Mark. You said you've never seen anything like this collection. Could you elaborate on that? In what way is it different? And is it one of the larger collections the Library of Congress has received?
It's a modest-sized collection. The largest collection I've worked on, I think, is the Leonard Bernstein collection, which is about 400,000 items. And it's almost every piece of paper and item that Lenny touched. But I've just never seen this level of sketching, again, both music and lyrics. It could be 40 pages, even more, of lyric sketches for a single song, and a dozen pages or more of music sketches for a given song. And I just, even with classical composers, I haven't seen that level of sketching material, the constant striving for playing with melodies and harmonies and structure and accompaniment figures. And it's just sort of mind-blowing to me, the amount of sheer effort that he put into these things.
I understand there are many, many pages from his work on A Little Priest, the song from that ends the first act of Sweeney Todd. And this is his musings, along with Mrs. Lovett, his partner in crime, Sweeney's musings, about what different pies could be made out of people from what different professions. Tell us a little bit more about that treasure trove.
Well, the great thing about the fun thing about that is the lyric sketches for that song. you know, in the margins of his yellow legal papers of lyric sketches, he often does lists of things, and often it's what you'd expect, rhymes or synonyms or, you know, things like that. But for A Little Priest, if you, and again, I think there are exactly 40-some pages of lyric sketches for the song. In the margins, he starts listing possible professions that might be baked into these pies. And I tried to count them up. I came up with 158 of them over, you know, several pages. And most of them, you know, clearly didn't make the final song. But what's fun is every once in a while, he'll try out a couplet with one. I think my favorite is on, as I recall, on page 3 of the sketches, one of the names in the list is Rabbi, and on page 8 of the sketches, he comes up with a phrase, everybody shaves except rabbis and riffraff. so it's just sort of, you know, and that's one of the other things about him. He had no hesitation about, as the phrase goes, killing his darlings. You know, he would come up with something that anybody else would think is just perfect and brilliant, and for various reasons he would say, you know, it's not right for the song, whether it's for any, you know, how do I put it, whether it just distracts from things or it isn't right for the character, or he just comes up with something better.
Well, he was so encyclopedic. He had so many great choices that he usually, as you say, he could come up with something better. I mean, and that is the one of the metrics for a great artist is, you know, the person who's going to realize what the actual best top-of-the-line choice is.
You mentioned Leonard Bernstein's voluminous collection. I know that the Library of Congress also has the archives of two of Sondheim's great mentors, Oscar Hammerstein II and Milton Babbitt. And I believe Sondheim persuaded his collaborators, Arthur Lawrence and Hal Prince, to also donate their archives to the Library of Congress. It's like the old gang is together again.
Yes, exactly. and that's something we thrill at because, you know, our goal is really not just to preserve these things, but to make them available for researchers and to make things as easy as possible for researchers. And if somebody's coming to research something, if the related materials are also at the library, it makes their lives much easier, and that makes us very happy.
Let me ask you something related to that in terms of people coming to see the collection. I know that the Library of Congress is expecting the Sondheim collection to draw many, many requests. Do you have any idea how many requests have come in so far?
I was told that last Saturday there were 4 groups of people who came in. Now, I'm going to take advantage of here. People sort of, more than any other collection I've seen so far, it's fans who are coming in to look at the work as opposed to researchers. And they say, you know, we want to see the Sondheim collection. And to just be clear, it doesn't quite work that way. We're creating a finding aid, and people need to request specific boxes. So if you want to see the manuscript for Send in the Clowns, you have to request box 12. That kind of thing. So it's not like the collection is there for people to just sort of thumb through and peruse. It's all very well organized, and we serve boxes at a time. So there's the pitch.
Yeah, and your interviews, for example, we heard an excerpt just earlier here, are on YouTube. But there's a tendency or a movement among libraries and collections and museums to publish their collections online. Is there any talk of doing that with some of this Sondheim material? Will people be able to view it without actually coming to the Library of Congress?
There are fantasies. I don't know what the reality will be. You know, most of what we put online is things that are in the public domain, and he's far from the public domain, and it'll have to do with the estate's permission. With the Bernstein collection, they gave us permission to put online, for instance, his music sketches for several of his shows, so Candide, West Side Story, On the Town, etc., because the sketch, and I think they wanted to make sure that people were still buying the sheet music to actually perform it, but for scholars who wanted to study the creative process, by putting the sketches online, they could compare them and follow the evolution of something. So in my fantasy world, at least I'd love if we could do that with Sondheim, but that again will depend on his estate's permission.
Mark Horowitz is a senior music specialist who oversees the Stephen Sondheim Collection at the Library of Congress. The book on Sondheim that Mark wrote called Sondheim on Music, Minor Details and Major Decisions. We've enjoyed this conversation with you and our theater critic, Jaywin Russick. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And Judy, we will see you next week. We're going to talk about The Yeoman of the Guard, which is the new show at the Young Vic Theater. So see you then. Thanks.
See you then.
And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, On the Record, host Ashley Sterner will be sitting in for me. She'll be talking about the future of clean energy, given the deep cuts to subsidies at the federal and state levels. Fresh Air is up next. Adam Liptak from the New York Times is the guest. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
Huh. Says here the top attraction at the state fair is going to be the dead fish.
Ah, man. That's supposed to say the dead, comma, fish. Sunday, September 7th, we ring out the Maryland State Fair with a special Sunday edition of Saturday Morning Tunes, featuring Grateful Dead tunes and Fish for Kids, an infield party for the whole family, with sets by Ed Huff's Dead Collective and Foam, a fish tribute. Some of Maryland's best musicians playing all your favorite fish and Grateful Dead tunes, plus family-friendly activities including bracelet making, t-shirt tie-dyeing, a foam party, and a mechanical bull. Presented by Stages Music Arts, tickets include admission to the Maryland State Fair. The show starts at 11:30 a.m. at the fairgrounds. All details at WYPR.org.
China and Taiwan are home to some of the world's most prized regions for growing tea, but higher temperatures and extreme weather events now pose a major threat to harvests. How tea growers are adapting on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
Listen to All Things Considered today at 4 on WYPR. Support for WYPR comes from our members. And from Eye Candy Opticianry, featuring Evil Eye Sports Sunwear made in Austria by Silhouette, and Tom Davies Custom Eyewear made in England. Available with Hoya Digital Progressive Lenses, Eye Candy Opticianry, 600 Wyandhurst Avenue, and eyecandyop.com. Our weather here in Baltimore, mostly cloudy, a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, a high near 84. Tonight, isolated showers, a low around 72. And tomorrow, partly cloudy, a chance of thunderstorms in the evening, a high reaching 89 to close out the week. We're Community Amplified, Baltimore Public Media 88.1, WYPR and WYPR HD1 Baltimore, WYPF Frederick and WYPO Ocean City at 106.9. Baltimore's NPR News Station. It's 1 o'clock.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with